Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
You will say that.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And here's a quick call about Camila McConaughey. Let's just listen.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Long time. I'm calling because I was watching the Today Show with my mom because I'm home for a bit, and there was a cooking segment with Camila McConaughey, who is Matthew McConaughey's wife, and at one point, they had this shot of all the Today Show hosts eating her food, and she misspoke and said that it had placenta in it, and it was shocking. Okay. Good form, Bella Thorne. Goodbye.
Not all that interesting, but there are a few things that I want to point out here. Number one, Camila Alves, which is how I've always known her.
Right, what I said to you. I was like, her McConaughey has never been her last name.
It's so confusing to hear her referred to as Camila McConaughey, because as far as I knew, professionally, and like, she changed her name, obviously, but I thought she still went by Camila Alves professionally, but apparently she does not anymore.
In the past, year.
Something changed.
Yeah.
Something changed. They've been married for 8 years,
right? So it's crazy to be like, oh, this woman is just like now being like, okay, we'll try McConaughey and see how it goes.
Everyone calls her Camila Alves, like everyone does.
Everyone who calls her that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think leaning into McConaughey is a new thing for her. Anyway,
wow,
point is,
she's doing like lifestyle blogging.
Oh yeah, she's going hard on something. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, this has got to be new, no?
But listen to this. This is a sign of how... So I found the video of her on the Today Show. And yeah, she misspokes and she misspeaks and she calls it placenta. And the cast is like, ha ha ha. But that, like, what? She's Brazilian? English as her second language. She misspoke. That's all it is. That part isn't that funny. This is the part of the Today Show that kind of shook me. Here we go.
All right. This morning on Today Food, we're starting the new year off right with fun and healthy recipes that your entire family can enjoy. And who better to help us out than... Camila McConaughey. She runs.
Who better to help us out?
Well,
who better to help us out with fun and easy recipes than Camila McConaughey?
We didn't even know
that was her last name until today.
I know.
I didn't know she cooked either. Or at least I didn't know that she cooked professionally in a way that she wants others to emulate.
Here's the thing I know about her. She's Brazilian. She's a model. She's married to Matthew McConaughey. And I thought what she did was mostly model slash like run his charity, help with the charity.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that charity is called Just Keep Living because like that's JK Living, you know, as we've talked
about.
What is Just Keep Living and what was your inspiration for it?
Just Keep Living is something that came to me few days after my father passed away in 92, and I was working on my first film, Dazed Confused. It was something that came to me in trying to cope with him physically no longer being here. Then I started applying Just Keep Living to anything I could in life, and I couldn't find anywhere that it didn't fit.
The rest is new to me. This lifestyle thing is new to me.
The last thing I want to say about Camila McConaughey is that in her personal life section on the Wikipedia, it says on August 4, 2015, she became a U.S. citizen in the same naturalization ceremony as British actress blank. Can you fill in the blank?
Wait, say that again?
On August 4, 2015, as in Camila, became a U.S. citizen in the same naturalization ceremony as British actress blank.
How am I to know this? There's so many British people.
Emily Blunt.
Oh.
That's fun.
Good. If you go to her website, you go to the bottom. It says, managed by Colony Creative. Click on Colony Creative. And it's essentially a marketing, a boutique marketing agency. And you go to the bottom and you see clients in the news. And it says, Sweet Valley High twins Brittany and Cynthia Daniel launch California-inspired lifestyle blog.
Can I click that?
So you just, but I mean, what my point is that you're seeing what these websites, these Goop adjacent, these kind of lifestyle-y websites are being kind of facilitated and run by these marketing companies.
These marketing companies who have like templatized ways into like minor lifestyle success. Because I don't
think... They come to you and they say, you could get like a small piece of this pie. Here we go. Like, here's how you do it.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to believe that these people, like these companies like Colony Creative are not selling, you know, Goop. They're not trying to make people think that they're all going to be Goop or, you know, Poosh or whatever. But it's like, you can make a little bit of money. You can do okay if you present yourself like this.
Maybe not even make money. Just have some sort of presence that is expands your brand. I mean, I'm sorry. Now I'm on the Sweet Valley High Twins website, Sweet Collection XO, which I'm not even sure what that means. But they're blogging about self-care. They're blogging about 6 ways to show your gratitude on Thanksgiving. Kitchen organization.
So this is recent because they're still doing it?
Yeah. Trending eyewear.
Wow.
How to have a sun-kissed glow in every season. The art of slowing down. I mean, I'm telling you, it's just...
The Sweet Valley High twins.
They're making the content.
They just posted the Sweet Practice 30-Day Self-Care Challenge.
Oh, my God. Do you know what her practice is? Her 30-day self-care practice is wake up 1 hour early, yoga 20 minutes, meditation 10 to 20 minutes, exercise 30 minutes.
Wow.
That's it. That's the...
Wow.
That's the plan. If I could do any of that, though...
I'd probably be happier.
Yeah. So thanks, Brittany.
You are listening to Who's There, a weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, concerns, and I don't know, corrections. That was just a teaser. That was just a fun little call because I hadn't thought about Camila Alves in a long time. We've got a whole lot of other things to talk about. We've been sort of getting back into the swing of things now that the holidays are officially over. So we got more normal comment calls. So we have a lot more comment calls than last week, which is what we love. We love comments.
Great. Yeah.
Let's start with this one.
Hi there, Who Weekly, long time. I'd like to add to the case for Phoebe Waller-Bridge still being a who, because her father was named in the Panama Papers, that giant dump of secret documents from banks and governments that revealed, you know, how the world's wealthy conceal their wealth and avoid paying their taxes because they don't care about funding a civil society. Her father was named in those papers, and I feel as though if you're rich enough to be named in the Panama Papers, that almost keeps you in who status no matter what. Because, yes, Phoebe Waller-Bridge is going to be famous. She wrote a Bond. She was in a Star Wars playing a sassy, amazing robot. You know, she's doing a lot of great stuff, and she might become a prominent star, but I feel like... I don't know. She's just that type of wealthy that might self-censor into hooey-ness. Because I think she's a them amongst a certain set of people who are on the internet. But I don't think she's a universal them. And I don't know if she will be. And I don't mean that as a dig against her. She's very talented. I mean, L3, great robot. Thanks. Love you all. Bye.
I still think she's a them. Also,
I think there was a lot of people, there was a lot of back and forth on that topic. Some people said, I can't believe you're calling her a who. I can't believe you're calling her a them.
People were mad about us calling Saoirse a who still. I'm sorry. I still think she's a who. I don't know.
Again,
why is it a value judgment? I think people get really upset and they think that it's some sort of qualitative judgment, and it absolutely is not. And we say that a lot, and sort of it comes out as though we're kind of, it's like a joke at this point, but it is, it's true. Like, I was watching Little Women with my parents. They had no idea who Saoirse Ronan was. I feel like they know what Fleabag is.
But the person who said Saoirse Ronan has got to be a them, she's got 4 Oscar nominations, was Irish. And of course, she's like a huge deal there. Yeah, currently. And has been for, I'm sure, a while, because she's, you know, she's so successful over here. So
I think Fleabag is a phenomenon that exceeds anything Saoirse has done up to this point, because Fleabag is Phoebe Waller-Bridge's entire thing. It's her baby, and she is like the face associated with it.
And if you know one eighth of it, you know who she is, because But if you knew like bits and pieces of Saoirse's career, you still might not.
Oh, the Girl in Atonement. Saoirse. Oh, right. Brooklyn made like $8 million.
But
like,
I guess
meanwhile,
the point of this person's call was the one thing we did gloss over, didn't really mention, was that Phoebe Waller-Bridge is literally not royalty, but she's, what do you call it, gentry, which is interesting. The Waller-Bridge family were landed gentry of Cuckfield, Sussex, which is like Meghan Markle. They're Sussex, right?
Yeah, they're Duchess of Sussex.
Not anymore, but yeah,
not anymore. Basically, her parents are just extremely rich, and her dad appeared in the Paradise Papers, not the Panama Papers. According to the Paradise Papers Wikipedia, it says not to be confused with the Panama Papers,
but
although
the
they have a lot in common.
Thing, essentially. It's just one is British people and one is American people?
One is that the Panama Papers are like world leaders, apparently. This is from Quora.
Don't buy go that website.
Panama Papers are world leaders, drug peddlers, and high wealth individuals. Paradise Papers are more blue chip client celebrities and multinationals. So I was looking at the difference. And so when you look at the Paradise Papers, these are some of the other people who are in it. Avril Lavigne, Nicole Kidman, Keith Urban, Emma Watson, Harvey Weinstein, Madonna, Martha Stewart, Sheryl Crow.
We've talked about this before, but the Panama Papers are definitely like people who are definitely hiding their money, who have a lot of money, but then somebody's financial, a big financial guy that everybody had in Hollywood that was recommended doing stuff that the celebrities didn't know what was going on with their money. So I like,
he was just like, trust me.
It's just like, okay, he's the guy who everyone had. It's like, oh, Avril Lavigne, you need a guy. I got a guy. He's really good. Yeah, I don't really know what he's doing, but he's doing some good stuff. And I'm saving a lot of money. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I think that a lot of these, I'm not being like, oh, they're innocent or whatever, I think a lot of it is also just like, why are there so many random people in it? Well, it's because everyone had the same guy.
Everyone had the same guy, or everyone's guys were doing the same thing. They had the same methodology.
Right.
To the caller's argument that Phoebe Waller-Bridge is not a them because her family is this rich and, I don't know, has influence in British society. I don't even know how to articulate that. I don't think that's true. And I think the first thing that came to mind was Julie Louis-Dreyfus. Inarguable them. Her parents are fucking loaded. Her dad is a billionaire. Like, just because, yes, you got this humongous leg up, yeah, it can be annoying and it's one of those things that people definitely complain about on Twitter, where it's like, this woman, she didn't come from nothing. She wrote this thing. She had all of this access and to school and education and to people that so many people don't, simply because her family is rich, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But I mean, all that aside, she's a them. I don't think that that prohibits you from being a them just
no,
because.
No, it's supposed to kind of like tinge the Horatio Alger self-made man of it all,
yeah.
You know, but
it's
it's
a less like Stan-worthy them, but it's still a them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
It's a less inspiring them, because it's like, oh, one of the reasons that she is where she is because she was so privileged. But
right.
You know, that doesn't prevent.
But is
one
it?
Thing.
And there is a thin line. There is a line, albeit a thin line, between a nepotism that is more like your family's in show business, and that's like the you know, a Brooklyn Beckham or something, and somebody who's just straight up rich. Which like you do have more time and you do have more space to like work your way up and figure it out
and do your creative projects. Yeah.
But the true nepotism that is most likely. Is a lot of what we're seeing is like the actual like sons and daughters.
We're talking about Margaret Qualley nepotism. We're talking about Willow Smith nepotism. We're talking about, you know, Maya
Hawke.
So
there's a difference.
What's his name? The Cannavale, you know? This is what we're talking about when we talk about like nepotism.
Right.
Also, didn't realize, I guess I'm an idiot, I didn't know The Rock's father was a famous wrestler. That's nepotism.
Yeah. Right. Or it's just the family business.
The family business.
But you're right. I think with wrestling, it's also a little bit different because what The Rock has done since then, like, extends beyond what his father did. And I think, like, he probably helped him get into wrestling because he was his son. But also that took more than just, this is my good looking kid who looks like me, which is literally what we're talking about. We talk about Kaia Gerber, you know?
Yes.
Which is frustrating. Which, by the way, did you see they broke up?
Yeah, I saw that. How could I not see they broke up?
They broke up. The Gerbers made the call.
You
some
had a
mafioso
good, you had a
guy
good tweet.
Showed up. Thank you.
You had a good tweet of the Randy and Cindy smiling.
I mean, Randy and Cindy definitely went to see like a witch doctor and like paid him a gold coin, you know, and the witch doctor was like, I'll do it.
No, they wrote a number on a piece of paper and they slid it around to Kai and they said, look. And she was like, okay, I'll dump him.
Yeah.
You know, like,
buck.
We're transferring this from our offshore Panama paper account to your, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
And she
literally was
like, fine, whatever.
They called their tax attorney and they were like, hey, so we're going to need a big chunk of that moved directly into Kaya's account.
All the photos of her with like Tommy Dorfman. She's like, Pete, yeah. Who? I'm with my right. gays. You know,
right.
Like,
that's right.
Okay, more comments. I love this comment.
Hi, Who Weekly. First, long time, first time. Correction, the redwood forest that Harry and Meghan were walking through were in Rotorua, New Zealand, not in California. And some related Who Then trivia for you is, in New Zealand, we have still got a constitutional monarchy system, and that means that the Queen is basically head of state. So she does the same thing that your president basically does, which has the ultimate say on any laws that our parliament say need to happen. And so what this means is when Harry and Meghan in 2018 are strolling through our redwood forest, we're all sitting there going, who are you? What are you doing here? You do absolutely nothing. You do not even go here. So while Harry and Meghan might be then, in constitutional law in New Zealand, they are absolute who's. Crunch, crunch.
I still suspect that the intention of putting that redwood photo on their website was to fool commoners like you and me, into thinking that this was North American. Because it's such a...
I just think they wanted a photo of them not in England and chose the prettiest one they had or something
But they chose a place that's still sort of, quote unquote, ruled by the Queen.
I mean, the funniest thing is us trying to be like, they're coming to California and United States, baby. Like, we would. And all of Canada's like, relax. Like, they're actually coming here. And you know what? You're right. Like, it makes no sense that they would come to America and live here. I just think they're going to be doing a lot of quote unquote business here, as you've already seen.
They're
going to
have a house. They're
going
to have a house in Los Angeles.
At least an apartment. At least a condo.
No, they don't want a condo. They don't want neighbors. They don't want to share a wall.
Okay. I guess what I'm just saying is that you are right. Like, it's going to be Canada first. Canada's going to be the main place they are. Mm-hmm. It makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Not the redwoods in New Zealand, though. But it looks nice.
Who knew that the redwoods were in New Zealand? I didn't know. I love knowing that.
Yeah.
I love knowing that.
New Zealand's magic, honestly. It seems fun.
I would love to go to New Zealand.
Yeah.
I would love to do a show in New Zealand.
Yeah, for four people in New Zealand, but including this woman who would come, I think.
Oh, this woman. Okay. Next call.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby. Long time. I'm calling with the requested Israeli perspective on Quentin Tarantino's wife, Daniela Peek. It's true that her father is truly like Israeli pop royalty. Like, he's so famous. His songbook is like songs that he composed for other artists that you wouldn't even know. He was so big that he gave his collection to like a whole jukebox musical. In the early aughts, he had like a Kardashian-like reality TV show, which was amazing to watch because he just moved in with his like 18-year-old girlfriend at the time, who was like terrorizing the housekeeper. But Daniela Peek is like not famous in her own right. It's just the sheer case of nepotism and also the fact that she was in a band with her sister. But like, they're indistinguishable. Like, you couldn't tell which one was which, even when they were at the most famous with their like one hit. Right now in Israel, she's mostly being covered as Quentin Tarantino's wife. Right, so like, you'd send the Israeli media coverage of Cannes would be like, oh, Daniela Peek was there, thanks to Quentin Tarantino. So I hope this clarifies things. She's definitely like a who singularly, and then by sheer power of nepotism, pop royalty. That's it. Yeah, crunch, crunch. Me and Haifa.
I love this. We asked for it. We got it. We got a few different people calling, different people who... Israelis, people in Israel, but then also people are like, I'm from Israel or my family's from Israel, who kind of all said actually pretty much the same thing, which was delightful.
He's extremely famous. She's nepotism.
She's not, which is like incredible because this is just like a tale as old as time on this podcast, isn't it? You know?
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Just thought you should know that Eliza Doolittle, to be clear, the skinny jeans pop singer and not the Cockney flower girl, actually used to date Benji Madden, Cameron Diaz's Benji Madden. Okay, crunch, crunch, bye.
someone did tweet at me, like, you would actually like Eliza's music now, because now she just goes by Eliza and does, like, straight pop music. Like, there's an article about her. Eliza on Sex, her new album, and Taking Back Control. Like, it's a whole, she's, like, a whole thing now. Doolittle was obviously a mistake, you know, or at least not, she decided to move beyond Doolittle. It's not actually her name. And the music was pretty good. It's pop music. It's pretty fun. But in 2011, there is a great Daily Mail article. Where did that come from? Eliza Doolittle reveals romance with Paris Hilton's rocker ex, Benji Madden, as they stroll hand in hand.
I like that. I like them together. Although I like Benji and Cameron together.
Me too. Eliza Doolittle confirms her relationship with Good Charlotte rocker Benji Madden as they strolled the streets of L.A., very aware of the paparazzi. Okay.
You can't really stroll the streets of L.A. without being very aware of the paparazzi, to be fair.
Right. It's true. She was dating a guy named Ollie before that, FYI.
Ollie Murs?
No, just a guy named Ollie. And Benji also dated Holly Madison. God, the Madden brothers, like, dated. Like, really fucking dated.
People loved them.
I guess my point is just, like, we're saying, like, wow, John Mayer, like, really dated a lot of women. And I'm looking at Benji Madden's, like, who's dated. And it's, like, he dated, like, Sophie Monk, like, Kim Kardashian, like, Paris, Solange, maybe, Holly Madison, Eliza Doolittle, like, Miley Cyrus, you know, Dita Von Teese. Like, his lineup is equally impressive.
Yeah.
You know? It's like some of those are rumored, of, by the way.
You think of, like, the other big rock bands of that era, and it's like Linkin Park, a little too aggro. I don't know. A lot of them are, like, a little too mean or a little too
lame. Like, if you want to date a rocker is what you're
like
saying.
Like, a cool rocker. Like, yeah. Good Charlotte was the cool rocker. Linkin Park was a little too dark. Nickelback was lame. Like, Korn, Slipknot, like, a little too much. You know what I mean? Like,
meanwhile, Joel Madden has only dated Hillary Duff and Nicole Richie publicly, which is another interesting, like, that's another interesting, it's all these women from the same era. He and Hillary were cute, I gotta say.
In addition to everything that you guys said about Oprah making so much money off of this tour, she also owns, like, 8 or 10% of WW Weight Watchers, so she's making even more money. Okay, women don't belong in balloons. Nobody does.
It was one of those things that I'm just annoyed that we didn't mention because we talked about it when it happened.
It's like we knew it.
We forget to mention things. But it's important to point out because Oprah very famously invested so much money into WW Weight Watchers back in, I don't know, 2015.
She bought 10% of it. 6% or something. What is then it? Is it 10%?
Well, then she dropped it. Then she dropped a few percentage points and she was down to 8%. And now I'm reading this story on bizjournals.com.
Classic.
And she recently upped it. So at the end of last year, she went back up to above 10%. And now I believe she owns 12.3% of WW. And
so she's the highest shareholder.
Guess what? That was sort of tied to this announcement of the tour. So she upped her percentage in WW whenever she decided to take a more like active role in doing promotion, I guess. If that signifies anything, it's that this is going to be a huge success for her, or indeed already is, you know.
Well, it all relies on her. It's almost like she's betting on herself to kind of make
It's exactly what it is.
Weight Watchers a thing again, which I don't even think Weight Watchers necessarily went anywhere. It's still the number one name in what it is, you know. It's not, even in this world where, like, now we're having a lot of these apps that do the same thing and there's kind of just, like, new technology that is trying to get into this business, Weight Watchers is being like, well, we're going to bet on Oprah because we're not, you know, we're not going to bet on that technology necessarily, but we're going to bet on Oprah because Oprah is, you know, to us, the kind of a motivator, and the whole thing is about, like, motivation and you know, hot habits and whatever. God, I don't want to talk about Weight Watchers anymore. It's depressing to me, personally.
Oprah betting on Weight Watchers is like Howard Ratner betting on Kevin Garnett.
Right. Yeah.
From Uncut Gems?
Yeah, no, I get it, because he had money invested. You get it? Yeah.
Okay, next. Now we're going to go into actual questions. Here we go. And talk about a question.
Oh, boy. Bobby, when we were on tour, let me tell you, I missed my mattress. The number one thing I missed,
beds,
aside from my toilet, was my mattress.
I missed a shower that I could fit in. You know, I missed a lot of things.
I missed my Helix mattress. What could I say? Sorry, missed my friends and family? Not really, but I missed my Helix mattress. I missed my Helix mattress because they have models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure if you sleep on your side. They have models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in your stomach and your back sleeping positions. Plus, they have enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. If your spine needs more TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design, combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
Helix mattresses all come with a 10 or 15 year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take our word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for hooligans. Go to helixsleep.com/who and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hi, Who Weekly. Medium time. Are Adam Driver and Minnie Driver related? Crunch, crunch. Women don't belong in balloons.
I was hoping to find like a family tree that somebody did, because, you know, family tree enthusiasts do.
Oh, I love. Oh, yeah.
Lots of things, including celebrities. And I was hoping maybe somebody had, like, you know, sourced them back to be from the same thing. But I didn't find that. Mm-mm. Minnie Driver, they're not directly related in any local way.
Also, she's not American.
She's not. Right. But I'm saying, I was looking at their past.
In any local way.
You know, like, they're not like cousins. No, I know. Is what I'm saying.
That's funny.
She was born in, she's of English and Scottish descent. And he is, that's what I was more looking of. Like, she's of English and Scottish descent. And he has Dutch, English, German, Irish, and Scottish ancestry. So could they be related really
join
far
the club.
Back?
Okay.
I know. Well,
me
also,
after doing 23andMe. Well, Dutch, Irish, German, Scottish, English, British. It's like, okay.
I know. But that comes from an article called 6 Things to Know About Adam Driver in Metro in 2014. So I also don't trust that necessarily in terms of, you know, actual whatever. You know, at least Minnie was on Who Do You Think You Are, the BBC show. So that's how she has her ancestry, which I do trust because that was done by an actual, like, ancestry person.
Yeah.
What's really, really, really funny, though, is if you search Minnie Driver and Adam Driver, you have all these tweets where Minnie Driver is just tweeting about Adam Driver, which is just incredible because she loves
because she's, like, horny for Adam Driver.
Yeah, she said in 2014, she said, I saw Adam Driver out last night. I do not know him, but wanted to fall on him like the long-lost brother he isn't. #girls. I don't even understand that. She wants to fall on him like a brother?
It almost reads like, I want to fall on him. I'm so horny for him. But then it's like, I want to just be friends with him like a brother. And
like,
I can't.
What?
But then in these other tweets, she keeps talking about his body. So it's like, this is too sexy. Like, what do you want from him?
The other tweets are from 2018, which means she's still thinking about Adam Driver. Somebody retweeted
she
a photo
saw The
of
Last
him.
Jedi and was like, hi-ya-ya, ha-cha-cha,
well,
you know?
Someone retweeted a photo of him shirtless and said, he's just so wide. And then they said, those shoulders would never fit in a Uniqlo shirt. And then she responded to that, I do think it's largely why we don't have Uniqlo in the States, which is a pretty funny. And then the girl said, I know you mean sizing in general, but I do like the idea that it's specifically Adam Driver's shoulders. Yes, that's a joke. And then she wrote, no, I really meant his shoulders. Okay, so this conversation, like, while it had a funny moment, really went off the rails.
Also, Uniqlos are everywhere, aren't they? I thought Uniqlos were everywhere now. They're all over the place.
Again, not the point that either of them were really trying to make here, but yeah, sure. He doesn't fit into a Uniqlo shirt because he's so wide. And Minnie Driver is now, her horniness has turned from brotherly love to I'm straight up horny. He doesn't fit in a t-shirt and I love it.
And also, I wish there were more Uniqlos in this country.
Right. And also, I'd love a Uniqlo to go to.
Who is Nikki DeJager? Crunch, crunch.
I think it's like, wouldn't it be pronounced in Dutch like Nicky Jaeger? De Jaeger?
De Jaeger? I'm not. Let's not We're even not go even. There.
But Nicky Tutorials is who she is.
Dutch.
About.
She is Dutch.
She is Dutch.
The easier thing to say. I don't want to butcher a Dutch name as I'm wont to do.
I gotta say, I'm not loving that we're covering another YouTube makeup artist. It's like,
yeah, I know. But to be fair, this is actual new. This is, we covered fucking Jeffree Star and his dumbass boyfriend.
I know.
This is actually news. This is much newsier and cooler than Jeffree Star and the dogs on the bed. The dogs on the Rihanna Voice California King bed.
This might be less, I mean, this is definitely less funny, though, I would say. And also, Nicki and Jeffree are kind of, they kind of battle out for number one makeup artist on YouTube, right? Makeup tutorial person. It kind of goes back and forth.
They're both huge. I don't know that they're number one and number two back and forth, but they're definitely both in the top, top, top tier. And Nicki Tutorials, we've never talked about her on the show. Nicki Tutorials made headlines, I guess, earlier this week because she came out as trans on a YouTube video. And it wasn't basically on her own accord. She was being blackmailed. These people whom I don't think have been identified or will ever be identified were trying to get money from her in exchange for not revealing that she is trans. And instead of giving them money, she just made a video that was like, hey, everyone, this shit is happening. I'm trans. Fuck you. And then she flipped them off with her like beautiful nail. What else is there to know about Nicki?
I don't really know a lot about her. I've seen her makeup videos, her big viral hit was the one where she did half her face. It's called The Power of Makeup, and I've definitely seen that one. And then she's done Kim Kardashian's makeup. She's like one of the leaders in actual makeup tutorials. She does different like looks or whatever. I really don't know a ton about her, to be fair. I do like that she's Dutch because it adds like an interesting international flavor to the lineup of makeup people on YouTube, because it's really kind of bland. It's like Jeffree Star, James Charles, you know.
Yeah, so she said in the video, I guess I'll just play the quote here.
It was frightening to know that there are people out there that are so evil that they can't respect someone's true identity. It is vile and it is gross. And I know you are watching this. They said they wanted to leak it because I'm lying, or that I don't want to tell my truth, or because they feel like I'm too scared for people to know who I truly am. I'm not scared. So to the people who tried to blackmail me and thought they could really mess up my life with that, this one's for you. I hope you can sit nice on it.
And then she flipped them off, and as this thing says, she flipped them off with a middle finger that showed a squared, sparkling acrylic nail.
Love that.
I also love this line that you found from her Wikipedia. At the De Jaeger first began uploading videos to YouTube in 2008 at the age of 14 after watching MTV's The Hills while sick and being inspired by Lauren Conrad's makeup. The way we find inspiration is truly baffling and surprising.
You gotta start somewhere, you know?
When it all goes back to Lauren Conrad, LC, that's something else.
Elsie's an inspiration for women across the globe.
Nicki was obviously not the one, because I did like a little bit of research before this, and Nicki was one of the YouTubers who did not sort of err on the side of messiness. You know, like a lot of makeup tutorial and YouTube people are as famous as they are because they love drama. Nicki does not love drama. If Nicki loved drama, she would get into it, because it's very easy to manufacture or join drama when you are on YouTube. That's, the whole platform is built around that.
Well, it's also just easy to pick topics that are like, because they have different setups for different things you can do in the videos, and some are more drama than others, you know?
Right.
Some are like literal talking shit prompts, but I don't think Nicki engages in that stuff as much as maybe the other ones do.
Yeah. So she took this very seriously, as far as I can tell, which sort of sets her apart from the other ones. And it's especially surprising because you sort of tend to believe, or at least I do, that it takes participation in that sort of behavior to become famous on YouTube. And if anything, to me, it looks like Nicki proved that it doesn't. It can be talent exclusively, you know, it could be your skill set or expertise exclusively. You don't have to sort of succumb to the messiness of, let's say, James Charles or even Jeffree Star, even though Jeffree Star did it. Yeah, all of it. Tati.
Every single one of them has done it. Manny Mua or whatever. God, I don't even know.
Yes.
How do I know?
Speaking of other Whos, I read this story that was written by Heron Walker and Vice.
Yeah.
She wrote about the Nikki thing, and the headline is, in 2020, we're still trying to out trans women. I didn't know this story. This is fascinating. She talks about this woman, Tracy Africa.
Yeah, this was a huge cut. I read this when it came out.
I did not read this. I did not know anything about this.
Yeah, it's a good...
And she was, but she was outed in the same way. So it's just like, people who weaponize trans identities has been going on for a really long time.
Right.
But I think the good sense, so I'm just going to read Heron's kicker here. With a smile on her face, but tears in her eyes, DeYager tells viewers that she's accepting that she can't close off her past to the public, that she's embracing the opportunity to be truly me for all of you. But being, quote, truly me costs Caroline Cossey, Tracy Africa, and April Ashley so much. Hopefully for DeYager's sake, that much has changed.
Glow babies. Today is the day. I am free. And I get to be me. Finally.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. It's Franny. I'm calling because Bobby just invaded my personal space and sent me a video of Paris Hilton cooking on YouTube. I watched it. It's actually pretty good. But one of the suggested videos after that was a video of Kim Kardashian's massive, scary dystopian refrigerator, which I know because I follow this woman on Instagram, was done by the Home Edit. So I want to know if the annoying faux Nashville personality, Clea Driscoll from the Home Edit, is a who or a them. Khloe Kardashian uses her. I think she did like Chrissy Teigen. She's at Dan Levy's house, literally unpacking his apartment today. It's a niche organizational thing. And it's like in the same vein as Marie Kondo, but I'm just curious if the Home Edit is a who or a them. These spoons are brutal. Crunch, crunch.
Fran, you really took that to a place we didn't want to go.
Fran, how do we get to Clea Shearer?
The Home Edit.
The Home Edit. From, you're talking about Paris Hilton making lasagna for her fans on YouTube. You go in, you somehow swerve into Kim Kardashian's gigantic refrigerator.
Okay, refrigerator. To be fair, she made it about a who, because Paris Hilton's a them, Kim Kardashian's a them. The Home Edit is a who. Who is she?
The Home Edit is that thing that, like, it's the lifestyle site that's about organizing your house.
And Clea Shearer and Joanna Teplin are the owners of the Home Edit, or they are the founders of the Home Edit.
Yes.
These are just personal organization influencers.
Exactly. So okay. The whole thing about the Home Edit is, number one, to really, really enjoy and have the fruits of all the Home Edit, you have to, number one, be rich, because you have to have so much nice stuff that you need to organize, and you have to have a lot of space in which to organize it. So the Home Edit requires a lot of money. But it's like, when you look at the Home Edit, it's like, oh, everything is in glass jars or plastic jars.
It's an aesthetic.
See-through. It's an aesthetic. It's an aesthetic.
It's an aesthetic.
You organize your books by color. You put everything out in open shelving. The Home Edit, they hate a cabinet door. The Home Edit hates a door. Everything out in the open, everything out there, everything organized by color. You want to label out multiples of everything.
To be fair, I have an issue where, like, if I can't see something, I forget it exists.
Which is the Home Edit's entire raison d'etre.
Which is also literally the concept of object permanence, which babies don't have until a certain age. Yes. I don't have object permanence.
Oh my God. A funny one time when my nephews were really, really young, my mom was like, because my sister was trying to like sleep train them. And so she was like they're in bed, they need to go to sleep. And my mom would be like, no, he misses me. He wants to see me. And my sister was like, mom, he doesn't know you exist when you leave the room. Object permanence.
Well, that's why peekaboo is like an iconic game for babies, because when you cover your face, they forgot your face existed. When they see it, they're genuinely thrilled. When you come back, they're like, whatever. But if you look at the Home Edit's press and you see the pantries they've done for celebrities, you see that it's one aesthetic that everyone seems to have. Busy Phillips, Gwyneth Paltrow, Reese Witherspoon, and these women, and this is why Fran cares, I know, because Fran's from Nashville, and these women are out of Nashville, and a lot of people are claiming that Nashville is becoming the new LA, in that a lot of famous people are moving to Nashville to start businesses, to do lifestyle brands. It's cheaper, but it's also got a vibe that I think celebs are really attracted to in a way.
Yeah, it's like
it's an industry town, but it's not.
It's cool, yeah. But you still have the space.
Yeah,
you know, like you still sort of can feel like you are secluded and that you're sort of hip.
Right, but it's friendly and it's, you know, it's also cool, and you know, a lot of these celebrities are from the South or some of them, mm-hmm. and like Reese, who she opened her store there, and da da da. So
you know whose house they just did? Dan Levy.
Really?
Damn,
it's a total thing. They're the Marie Kondo, but like with stuff.
Is the home edit of them? I think the home edit is of them. I think the home edit is huge.
Well, the aesthetic is of them.
The aesthetic is of them. And I think even the name is of them, because I think those books are big bestsellers. Is Clea of them?
They're so happy that Kim did that tour. And Kim did the tour because there was some video where she showed one of her fridges and there was nothing in it. And people made fun of her, kind of. Or they were like, what do you eat, air? And then she was like, no, I have 12 fridges. And they're meticulously.
Gigantic fridges. Like, yeah. Bon Appetit is shaking at those fridges. Like, right. The Bon Appetit fridges are smaller than these fridges. But right. Everything is like those OXO, those like OXO plastic right. containers that you put everything in so you can
Why
see everything that you have.
Color coordinated. I really don't. That's not a practical way of organizing.
The weirdest, like, the
Unless
thing
it's
about
your clothes.
This, though,
Unless
like,
it's
I
your
get.
Clothes.
I don't want to bemoan. God, there's so much Dan Levy on their feet. I don't want to like dump on these like entrepreneurs. Like, congrats to them for hitting this nerve and doing well. But it's like,
I agree.
The aesthetic is so one note and easy to pin down. You know, like, of course it's good advice. It's sort of like, it's exactly like Marie Kondo, as Franny said, because it's like, find things that spark joy. Ultimately, that's a really, really easy nugget to distill your idea into. And yet, they're just going to keep releasing book after book after book and Netflix show after Netflix show after Netflix show, even though all you have to do is buy a lot of clear boxes and have a lot of space to put your clear boxes.
Well, I think my main thing is that the main aesthetic is space. So the thing that all of these things, these closets have in common is that they're like these incredible closets. They're... You can separate your, you know, 14 different types of gummy bears in these different clear packages because you have a closet that is an entire room. You're Kim Kardashian. You have 12 different closets. That's the aesthetic, and which is why like celebrities love this shit, because they do have the space. What I think is really interesting is that real organizing should be for people who don't have a lot of space.
Exactly.
How do I better declutter my life where I don't have a closet that looks like this, where I don't have a closet at all? What do I have? You know, my small fridge, my small bookshelf. How do I? So that's what's kind of frustrating, because it's like, at least Marie Kondo has a rule that everyone can follow. And this is just such a capitalist, you know, just a
capitalist
just a
nightmare.
Just a full kind of business in a very traditional sense, where it's like, hire us to come clean your shit.
Lindsay, imagine having that much space for your Dorito bags.
I mean, I can't.
They have their Doritos. This photo on the home edit has at least 100 individual bags of Doritos displayed like books.
No, and then they have other you see the Lay's, different types of Lay's.
Sour cream
Each
and onion.
Potato chip gets its own bag.
They get their own shelf. Multiple shelves.
The fruit in the foot gets its own container. All these fruit snacks. Okay, whatever. Obviously, that's for children, but it's fine. Can we go back to Paris Hilton for one fucking minute, though?
Yes.
Because it might be one of the funnier things.
When you scroll through their feed, it's like, I'm looking at the same thing over and over. It is the organizational equivalent of looking at a thirsty gay person's Instagram. It's like, oh, your nipples again. Oh, your abs again. Oh, your abs again. Oh, your abs again. I see them. I see them. I see them. I see them. There's no diversity here. Diversity of concept or thought.
I just don't feel like it's useful to organize things by color, the rainbow, unless they're showing in your house, like your books, if you want to have that aesthetic that people actually have to look at, sure. But in your closet, just why wouldn't you do it just practically? But clearly it's for the Instagram. So they do it for the Instagram.
This photo here that says they organized Khloe Kardashian's beauty room, her glam room. This photo, I don't understand the skill involved. They organized all of her hair by color? Of course they did. That's obvious.
Sure.
The concept is so simple that it's shocking to me, and yes, impressive, and yes, we love a hustle. But like, that's all it is? Organizing things by color in massive amounts of space? God. Anyway, Paris Hilton.
No, I just... You're so funny.
Give me a big house and a credit card with a ton of money, and I will go fucking ham in the Container Store and organize the shit out of my house without having to buy the home edit.
But anything that, no, but anything that you could do, you know, someone could pay to have someone else do, that's not my issue. That's a business. That's an idea, right? It's just a matter of kind of the aestheticizing of organization that is interesting to me.
Yeah.
Especially for stuff that is literally behind closed doors, like yeah, a but closet, you're right. For example.
So much of this aesthetic relies on space and money in a way that is extremely frustrating. Like, I cannot emulate this because I don't have a walk-in pantry.
Right. So.
Or six.
Back to Paris Hilton's video, which is where Fran started, Paris Hilton them. But Paris Hilton did a cooking video, which is inarguably a who. It is, I would say, a piece of satire.
What is it called? Cooking with Paris.
The best part is in the middle. She goes, well, you know, we should use maybe a hashtag. Hashtag Paris lasagna. No. Don't use that. Do not use that. Don't use that. Don't use hashtag Paris lasagna.
About to film a new YouTube video of me cooking my infamous lasagna. Hashtag cooking with Paris. Hashtag chef Paris. Hashtag Paris lasagna. No. Actually, do not use the hashtag Paris lasagna. It sounds beyond.
Paris Hilton. What's incredible is that all these kind of celebrities are coming out with these lifestyle, speaking of lifestyle content, you know, everyone is a really good cook all of a sudden, right? Everyone has preferences on food. We wrote about this for Eater. Every celebrity is deciding they have this like food knowledge that came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
And like, it's so funny. But Paris Hilton, whose brand from the very start is like the opposite of cooking for yourself. I mean, it could not be further from cooking for yourself. When I saw that she was doing a cooking video, I was very disappointed. At first, I was disappointed. I said,
you're right. Her brand could not be further from cooking for yourself.
Yeah. I said, this is disappointing. Paris Hilton is her whole brand is being too rich to cook. There's no reason why Paris Hilton is coming over to make me lasagna. I would never want her to make me lasagna. Even if you told me that Paris Hilton makes the best lasagna in the world, I'd say, no, I don't want Paris Hilton making me lasagna.
Also, this house is not hers.
That's the other best part about this. So she comes up with this video, and it is such a pure parody. I mean, this woman
it's
knows
in a gigantic,
she's,
fancy suburban kitchen that is
who
like
she reveals is not her own house. She doesn't know where any of the she doesn't know where anything is.
She's looking for spoons. She can't find them. She's looking for seasonings, and she finds like a thing of Himalayan sea salt, and she's like, whatever, 11 grinds. Okay.
She puts too much salt on the meat that she makes. She has to wipe it off with towels. She puts too much oil in the pan. She has to wipe it off with towels.
So again with this, I'm not sure of the exact measurement of what you're supposed to do, but this is what I do every time. Just go like, oh no. Oh no. All right, that's too much. So I'm gonna do my towel trick again.
She needs to grate fresh mozzarella, so she grates them with her biker gloves. Like,
she's wearing these biker gloves the whole time that she calls her cooking gloves. It's honestly an incredible. She keeps saying
she's holding
good
her dog's whole butthole with this biker glove, and then she's grating fresh mozzarella. Not even low moisture mozzarella. She's grating fresh mozzarella on a grinder, and she's like, "I'm having trouble." And it's like, "No shit, you're having trouble, Paris Hilton."
It's really fucking funny. She's making it. She's making it in tin. That she's making it a tin trays. You got to put the little.
That
you
was
have
Kate
to put
Reese's
clips.
Favorite thing. She's like, all these celebrities who use disposable trays to make their shit. It's like, use a ceramic.
No, it's just Paris. Dish. It's just Paris because this entire video is a comedy piece written and directed right. by Paris Hilton. The way that it's shot is insane. The camera's following her around the island, not shooting her from one side. So it keeps on like having to back up and like go forward. It's
definitely one of those like gyroscopic little iPhone holders, you know?
Right.
Remember Lala had one? Like her dad gave her one? And I was like, this is amazing. And it's like someone held one for the first time and they just started doing like, whoop, 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 because they thought it was fun.
Every time she says something, maybe they put it in letters. She says, olive oil is better than something. Olive oil is better than butter. And it below that made an equation that's like olive oil better than butter or like under her as if to create these Paris Hilton rules.
But the thing about Paris is it's not earnest, but it also is. It's earnestly not in earnest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The other thing, ingredients. The ingredients that are listed at the minute mark of this video are lasagna noodles.
Lasagna noodles.
One, lasagna noodles. No measurements. One, lasagna noodles. Two, garlic cloves.
I think she means a box of them, maybe.
Garlic cloves. Okay. Number three, onions. Parentheses, optional. Four, pepper.
Right. Five. Do you see she holds up the onions and garlic and says, I don't want to cut these, so they're not going in.
Yes.
Okay. I was supposed to chop these onions and garlic, but I feel my lasagna should not have onion or garlic in it.
She's incredible.
Himalayan salt. And the only reason it's Himalayan salt is because it's all she could find in the
kitchen that she happens to be in.
Then it says ricotta cheese, shredded mozzarella, tomato sauce, and then the last ingredient, Lindsay, do you remember it? Meat.
It's just meat. It's just ground beef, right?
Meat, parentheses, any alternative you prefer. Imagine going on to bonappetit.com, clicking a recipe that looks pretty good, and then seeing in the ingredients list, meat.
Well, what's funny is that I recently bought a great lasagna.
Where am I, prison?
I recently bought a great lasagna book. Shout out Anna Hessel Lasagna. So good.
The cutest little book as well.
Like, it's even the easiest lasagna is complicated in a way because you have to kind of create whatever. So the point is she's making lasagna like you would make in prison. Because you only have like two ingredients and you're just layering noodle on top of sauce on top of cheese.
Yes.
Because it's like the most basic lasagna, whatever.
It's such a basic lasagna that like no one needs a video, you know?
But it's inspiring because the way that she does it is like, this is the lasagna that everybody asked me to make. They love my lasagna.
As you all know, well, maybe not all of you know, people who do know that I'm an amazing cook.
There's also just something very interesting to me about Paris Hilton, who at one point was the most famous person on the planet and now is making lasagna in someone else's kitchen on YouTube. You know,
I'm like screaming. I'm still Allison Roman, who we've talked about plenty of times on this podcast. She was providing commentary on her Instagram. And honestly, she gets it. She understands that this is all just an act. Like this.
She's like, I'm not bullying Paris Hilton's lasagna making. Paris Hilton knows exactly what she's doing.
But the clip that she posted of her smashing the meat and telling you, get it tan. get it tan.
So just like flip it, kind of make it tan.
Allison captioned it, and I cannot. It's so funny. I was crying when I watched it this morning. Simma, babe, simma. It looks perf. We are loving. I can't even say it without laughing. Ooh. Simma, babe, simma. It looks perf. We are loving your sauce.
No, she used Rao's sauce from the jar.
Rao's, my grocery store. Listen,
I don't care about your grocery store. I don't care.
If your grocery store ever has Rao's pasta sauce on sale, buy it, because every once in a while, my grocery store sells expensive ass Rao's pasta sauce for $4.99 a bottle. And guess what? I always buy multiple.
Okay, but Rao's is the best. We're talking about. We're not talking about that. Save that.
It looks perf. We are loving your sauce.
Save that shit for the Patreon. We're talking about Paris Hilton and why it's interesting that she's making lasagna on YouTube. Okay. Because Paris Hilton is trying to fit her brand into the Kim Kardashian, home edit world, the Goop world. And Paris Hilton's brand in 2020 is this, which is incredible. Because arguably, this is funnier and better than any of those videos that you could spend hours watching of actual people cooking actual recipes that are, quote unquote, healthy. Not only is she cooking poorly, she chose the most unhealthy food you could possibly make at home, which is lasagna. I love that. Think about it. Now I'm like thinking of even more ways that I think this video is genius. You know, she chose, it's like the opposite of what Gwyneth would. You couldn't catch her dead with lasagna noodles in her house. Lasagna noodles. You know?
What do you need? Lasagna noodles, meat, onions, only maybe. Some garlic cloves.
No, God, there's no onions.
Imagine going into... Honestly, this video is the equivalent of being inside an Airbnb house you've never stepped foot in, looking through the pantries and trying to make something out of what you
find.
Which
is fun.
Yeah, and you're like, well, I found some lasagna noodles. I'd like some onions, but they're not urgent.
What does she call the spoons? What does she say about the spoons? She says she's like,
well, at
random
point,
spoons.
She's like, I don't know what this is at one point, and it's just like a spatula.
She's like, this is perfect. She pushes the meat down into the pan with three spatulas.
And you don't need to use cheese with milk. You can use organic cheese. There's almond cheese. There's soy. There's like so many different types of cheeses now that it's not normal, but it's cool. All these spoons are brutal.
She starts using, I believe, a mashed potato masher, a potato masher to do it at one point.
Well, you know, we've all been there. Good video.
Himalayan pink salt. Sounds cool.
Why is she wearing bicycle gloves? Whose house is this?
Really quickly, I just want to play this. Okay, here we go. Listen.
Just grab any other spices. Himalayan pink salt. Sounds cool.
Sounds cool. You have to put clips throughout this entire segment for it to be actually
funny.
Yeah,
it's just, it really is. It's an incredible piece of art.
Yeah, it is. And it is relevant to us because it does kind of like, God, so much, we're giving her so much credit. But she's parroting like the world that she sees around her. She's doing a parody of the celebrity culture she sees around her, which she knows she's not a part of anymore.
And the thing that's frustrating, though, like, you can't really give her too much credit. Yes, it's a parody, but also at the same time, it required zero effort, you know, like,
well, I mean, she thought so it's of like, it and she did.
Yeah,
it.
It's a joke, but it also is like the lowest hanging fruit of a joke. It just so happens that like most people wouldn't even go so far as to do the lowest hanging fruit of a joke like this.
I just like that Paris Hilton has been so deeply demoralized by this entire experience of her life that she is now like somehow okay. She somehow has a sense of humor, or at least whatever it is, the spark here to make something like this.
Demoralized by the entire experience of her life.
I mean, more her fame, just the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just in terms of being really famous, and then your best friend gets even more famous than you, and Jesus. Then you have to just like still be around while that person essentially continues to kind of take over the globe with her fame. I don't know. Yeah. It's so weird to think about that's the way that it went, because we were very much alive and old enough to remember when Paris Hilton was the most famous person in the world. Right?
No. Yeah, we definitely
were. Anyways.
Okay, so thank you for listening to Who's There. Oh, wow. We recorded for 2 hours. We gotta cut this down. And where are we gonna put the great segments that we cut into our Patreon?
Hell yeah.
Subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/whoweekly for bi-weekly bonus episodes and a weekly newsletter. Lindsay's writing this week's. I'm sure it's gonna be amazing.
Oh my god, it's gonna be
call amazing. In 619 Who Them to leave questions, comments, and concerns, and we might play your call on a future episode of Who's There. But until then, we'll see you on Tuesday with another episode of Who Weekly. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Hey. I want to be famous.
Hi, guys. I know you don't want this call, so I'm sorry. But I had to call in because I'm a nurse, and when you were talking about coffee, making you more thirsty, coffee is a diuretic, so it means that it makes you pee out all your fluid, so it's like doesn't hydrate you at all. If anything, it makes you more dehydrated because you pee out all the liquid in yourself. Anyhow, I'm sorry. I had to do that. All right. Love you guys. Good form, Bellathorn. Drink some water.
All these spoons are brutal.